Blog Talk Radio.
Work, let's work. Come on, let's work, let's work. Come on, let's work, let's work. Come on, let's work, let's work. Come on, let's
you can
work.
Wish for it, or come you on, can work, work for it.
You gotta work for greatness.
Work, let's.
If you ain't working, work, you should be working.
Come on, let's work.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Wednesday. Oh, wait, today is Wednesday. I was going to say, oh, my days is off, but today is Wednesday. This is our very first Power Call. Super excited about it. We are going to give everyone about 2 minutes to get dialed in, get logged on. If you are already on the line, get your notebook ready because you are definitely going to have some nuggets that you'll want to jot down and remember. Sit tight. 90 seconds. We'll be getting started. All right, ladies, again, this is Coriel. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to our very first Power Call of 2017. This is your opportunity to connect with my connections. I wanted this mentoring program to really, really be special in that you won't just get to hear from me, but you'll also get to connect with the people that I'm connected to, with the movers, the shakers, and the money makers. And tonight is one of those very special opportunities because we are chatting with one of my favorite people, somebody who I am thrilled to be able to introduce you all to. And so tonight's topic of conversation is definitely one that I felt like we needed to dive into at the beginning of the year so that we could really set the tone for the entire year by embracing what we call our soft power. And so whether you join the inner circle to work on your personal or professional goals, embracing your soft power, figuring out what soft power actually is and how you can use it in your life to attract the things and manifest the things that you really want is really going to set the tone for 2017. And so at the end of tonight's conversation, I'll definitely open up the lines. If you have questions, go ahead and jot them down so that you don't forget and you'll be able to answer at the end. Now, the lady I'm about to introduce you to is literally one of my favorite people. Dia Direct is a best-selling author. She's an entrepreneur. She is the queen of content, and she is the producer of the Tom Joyner Morning Show. But what I love most about Dia is that she is so honest, so transparent, and I mean, she keeps it realer than real. Like, she keeps it real. And so tonight's topic is, of course, soft power, but Dia has a wealth of knowledge and so many experiences to pull from, so much knowledge and wisdom to share. So I'm excited to talk to you, Dia. I'm excited to introduce you to my mentees. Are you ready?
Am I ready?
I know you was born ready. Go ahead and say it.
Girl, you know I stay ready, especially for you and your people. Let's do it.
I love it. I love you, Dia. Okay, so I did a little quick introduction, but I know I really, like, gave you no justice. So really quick, in a nutshell, like, who is Dia Direct?
Who is Dia Direct? The highs and the lows are this. I am the daughter of two drug addicts who, you know, my mother is recovered and doing well. My father passed as a result of HIV and AIDS. I'm the same chick who went to and matriculated from Howard University, went on to become Miss Black USA. At the same time, I'm the same chick that's been married and divorced twice and remarried very happily, finally got it right, learned quite a few lessons. Same chick that was a colored girl who considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. I am the same person who's a part of a syndicated show that reaches 8 million people every single day and creates content for it. And I am a woman. I am a child of God. I am a wife. I am a sister friend. And I'm real. I am highly accomplished and extremely flawed all at the same time. And I say all that to say that you really can be more than one thing at the same time. And I am definitely a woman who has more than enough reason to be hard. But I have chosen to take responsibility for my life so that I can live out loud and open my heart to what I really want instead of what I'm afraid of. Hope that answers your question.
Hello, somebody. Thea, I love you. Okay, so you went there. You already went there, like you've already answered a couple of the questions that I have. But let's just start here. What was your inspiration? Soft Power is not your first book. This was your second. But what was your inspiration behind this book? And also, can you define soft power for us? Like, what is soft power and what was your inspiration to not just dig deep to discover your soft power, but write this book to teach other women how to do it too?
Yeah, so it's actually my third book. My first book was Touch Yourself, 30 Ways to Boldly Live, Love, and Let Go. My second book, which became an Amazon bestseller, is actually a short-form book, and that's called Failure is Fuel, and it's all about using your failures to fuel you to the next level. And so this is my third book, maybe my most profound, in that it really is about using what is innate to change yourself and others. Soft power, as it turns out, is a political term. It's an international political term that has everything to do with diplomacy. And, you know, in these times that we live in politically, we could all use a lot more soft power in the White House, because the opposite of soft power is hard power, which means we could be going to war any moment now. Okay? And so an example of soft power would be the Women's March that happened this past weekend, and hard power might be, you know, what's happening right now in terms of Obamacare being taken away. So as it relates to how it can apply in everyday life, it has everything to do with how you communicate and your ability to understand your opponent, and then using the information that you have to basically not only make people give you what you want, but to make them feel good about it. So it really is a technical term that is really old school and even biblical, which is you can get more with honey than you can vinegar. So it's all about how it manifests itself, and now it's about how we use it to our benefit to take our lives, our relationships, our money, and our honey to the next level.
Hello to the money and the honey. Okay, so talk though about the choice, like the conscious choice that it takes to use your soft power instead of using your masculine energy, which a lot of boss chicks, a lot of independent women, a lot of strong black women, we are accustomed to and kind of depend on a lot of times our masculine energy. Can you just talk about like the difference in responses that you get between when you are hard and rough? Because I know you got it in you, like you just said, you know, you have the reasons to be hard, and so many of us have the reasons, like we've been through so much that really kind of gives us the excuse, you know, to be hard or to be guarded or to be tough. But what are the different responses that you get when you are softer?
Okay, so first of all, you introduced me as Dia Direct. So I'm called Dia Direct for a reason, which is that softness and soft power is not necessarily my initial go-to, but it is innate, but it's also relearned behavior, because we are so out of whack. We are so out of whack of our own nature, because somehow we've been taught that being feminine and soft is weak and being masculine and hard is strong, which is whack because you're a woman. So why do I say that? Because even if you are at the top of your game politically, professionally, or whatever, at the end of the day, you will never, ever be in the boys' club. Because you're not a man. Even if you think you're accepted, you will never 100% be in the boys' club. So you can use masculine energy, but you're actually working against yourself, because you're of the mindset that being something other than who you are is better. So that means you're working from a deficit. So anytime you're working from a deficit, or in this case also an insecurity, because you feel like being feminine is weak, then you're working from a weak position, because you're trying to be like somebody else, because you don't recognize and appreciate or value what you've been given, your God-given innate ability to influence as a woman. So we've already lost by trying to do it like a man. Now, if you now try and transfer that into a relationship, then again, that's, excuse my French, but it's ass backwards. Because generally speaking, if you're in a heterosexual relationship, a man is not looking for you to bring the same energy to the table that he has. He needs something to balance himself out and vice versa. So if you're coming to the table with a masculine man, and we say we want an alpha masculine man, but we don't always mean it, because when that man shows up, we don't know what to do with that energy. But if you're coming to the table with the same masculine energy as the man that you're trying to build a life with, well, two men in a heterosexual relationship is not going to work. So you need to decide who you want to be in the relationship. So, yes, sure, we all have an excuse to be hard, but I'm going to tell you something. It actually takes more courage to be vulnerable and to open your heart and to focus on what you do want instead of putting all of your energy on what you don't want. So in the name of not getting hurt again, not getting disappointed again, not taking a risk again, not putting yourself in a position to be taken advantage of again, oftentimes we become hard. Or in the spirit of wanting to, you know, show that you are just as strong and powerful as the next, we often come across as hard. And so what that does, though, is that hardness, it blocks. It does protect you. So I'll give you that. It does protect you from things coming in. But it also protects you from the thing that you want coming in. So you miss it. So at some point, you have to decide if you're willing to take the risk on what you really want. Because everything that's great, every great achievement requires a certain level of risk. Even when you're in the stock market, it requires risk. You cannot be risk averse and think you're going to make a gain in the market. So it's the same thing, but you want to make money. So in this case, if you want to gain the big picture, you've got to be willing to take a risk. And you've got to trust yourself and God and the process, because real love requires risk. And nobody said that it was going to be easy and every day was going to be sunshine and you're going to be in flowers. No, it don't work like that. You know, a real relationship, anybody who's been in a long-lasting, healthy relationship experiences conflict, but it requires a level of vulnerability. So you've got to decide what you want more, to be safe or to be successful, personally, spiritually, or professionally. So one quick example I'll give you, because I've considered myself in the past a serial monogamist, because I constantly found myself in, you know, in singular focused relationships where, you know, I'm always trying to get in a committed relationship too soon. And as soon as I find somebody who was halfway worthy, I gave him all of my energy. So I don't have an issue catching a dude. That's not a problem. But making the best choices is a whole nother conversation. But in one of my past relationships, one of my exes and I were having an argument, and me being Dia Direct, I go for the jugular. Like, if I'm going to, I kind of argue for sport, you know. I enjoy debate. I enjoy what I call a mental masturbation. So I enjoy the challenges of being intellectual and having intellectual and challenging conversations. And so for some people, arguing is a problem. For me, you know, sometimes it's fun in certain circumstances. So I was having an argument. It was not fun. It was ugly between me and my ex, and I was going hard in the paint. And he hit me with, you know, with a 1-2 punch. And he said, "You know what, Dia? You go too hard." And then he said, "If I wanted to date a man, that's what I would do." When I tell you that broke my face on both sides, it did. Because basically, I know I look feminine, I dress feminine, I thought that I projected femininity, but when it came down to it, my energy was masculine. So it's not just about how you present on the outside. It's also about how you come across. And a lot of times, ladies, we are not in tune with our truth about how our energy comes across to other people, verbally and nonverbally. And so I teach a lot about really owning your own energy. And, you know, the book that I have out is called Soft is the New Power, Embracing Your Feminine Edge to Win in Love and Life. And it's all about communication. And it has everything to do with what we communicate to ourselves and what we communicate to others. And I have to just tell you, how do you transfer from these two of hard to soft to hard? It's like being in the gym. You got to work at it every day. And you know what? Even though I know it, I studied it, there is science behind it. This is well-researched. This is not some made-up stuff that I have come across. And I still fail sometimes because you have to practice it. And when you're in the habit of doing something and you are always trying to protect yourself, you're going to mess up. The difference, though, is when you have the tools of soft power, you now have a new skill set in your tool belt that you can pull out, and you can use it. And you have to, like any tool, you have to work your tool. And so in my case, I've seen it work in such a major way in that not only am I remarried, but I'm married to my life partner and my best friend. And guess what? Soft power is not gender specific. He uses it on me all the time, and I use it on him. And so the thing about it is, think about it this way. You cannot influence what you don't understand. So you can't change yourself unless you understand yourself. And you can't influence your man unless you understand your man. You can't influence your coworkers or your boss or the people that you supervise or your girlfriends unless you first seek to understand. So one of the first steps I want to teach you about soft power is you've got to study yourself, and you've got to study people and be more willing to listen and learn than to speak and react.
So, Dia, I love that you said, you know, it really takes, like, I'm going to call myself a former tough girl because I am not embracing that anymore. I'm going to say that was a part of my former life. But as a former tough girl with her guard up, it's hard to admit that it takes real strength to be vulnerable. You know, you think that you're so tough because you can act tough, you can be mean, you can be guarded, but it really truly does take more effort and more strength to be vulnerable. But I believe that you can't really be vulnerable until you're able to be honest with yourself. And so the very first thing that we worked on this month was forgiveness, forgiving the people mm-hmm. who have hurt you in your past, but also forgiving yourself for, you know, yep. poor decisions, poor decision-making, and just being self-aware of, you know, what's in your closet, what you've been holding on to, what baggage you need to let go of. And you talk about a lot of the personal, you know, struggles or obstacles that you've had to overcome. How important was it for you to get real with yourself and for you to really forgive yourself and the people who have hurt you before you were able to kind of build on this feminine energy and be more vulnerable?
First of all, I want to congratulate you on your journey and say, yes, it's true. You're not going to get it right. And so once you let go of this false need to be perfect, it's a game changer. It's a game changer because we are so judgmental of ourselves and others that we're always trying to take these gigantic steps. And, you know, I should be this, I should be that, I should be this and that by a certain age. If I'm not this and that by a certain age, and if I don't have this and that by a certain age, I'm a failure. And you're basing this on what truth, actually? So why do I mention that? Because when we don't meet the mark, then we get upset with ourselves, and we don't even realize that we need to forgive ourselves. So we then make choices based on false expectations, and so that we can meet these false marks So as an example, I'm sure at this point you know friends, and if you don't, you could just use me as an example of somebody who, you know, you get married because it's the right thing to do. You're at a certain age and, you know, everybody else around you is doing this, that, or the other, or buying a house even though you can't afford it. And so you get yourself in a rut and financially because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses or because you think this is what you should have or be by this point in time. And then when it doesn't work out or you come across some challenges, then you're upset with yourself because suddenly you're not as good as you thought you were because you're not fitting, you know, into this box. But it was never a box that you were supposed to be in the first place. So giving yourself and what I had to do in my journey, I had to literally, and this is going to sound crazy, but it's the God's honest truth. I had to give myself permission to be human. Because somehow in my mind, I thought I was better than everybody else. And I'm not supposed to go through that. And I'm not supposed to do this. And I'm not supposed to do that. Part of the reason why I was I was misconstrued in my perception of myself is because I spent so much of my life trying not to be like where I came from. So I told you in the beginning that I grew up with parents who were addicts. That's not all they were. They were good people, great hearts, had a heart for God. They also were flawed individuals with weaknesses. And as an only child, obviously, I had to see more than a child should have to see and experience more than a child should have to experience at that age, including seeing domestic violence and seeing my mother mentally and emotionally abused. And so, of course, there's a message that's taught to any child that's experienced something like that, and you're like, I'm not going to be weak. I'm not going to let no man hurt me. I'm not going to be like my mother. I'm not going to be like my father. I'm not going to be like that. But what happens is if you spend so much of your energy, and this is where the hard and the soft comes in, running away from what you don't want to be, you don't actually put real energy into what you do want to be because you're so busy in survival mode running away. And so sometimes in your running away, you're not even in your best consciousness. And so when you're running away, you often run into the next best thing that doesn't look like what you came from, but it doesn't mean that it's the truth, right? So that's why when you get into relationships with guys, somebody who, let's say your ex-boyfriend never took you out, and you get on a date, which we could talk about later in terms of how you should communicate in relationships with men, especially in the beginning in your dating, but you go on a date and you're expressing to this guy, you know, oh, my God, I love this restaurant, blah, blah, blah. My ex-boyfriend, you know, he never took me out. He never did this. He never did that. Okay. So now what you've done is you've taught him how to be a good student and to basically just do what your ex did. But that doesn't mean that he's actually a good person for you. It just means that he's fulfilling the hole in your soul. And you've given him the map to basically trick you. Right? So why do I mention that? Because when you're running away as opposed to focusing on your priorities instead of just your preferences, which is that date or the restaurant and a good drink or whatever it is, you make bad choices. And so that's what I did. I made bad choices because I was looking for somebody else to fulfill the hole in my soul. And the truth is that was my responsibility and God's responsibility. But because I wasn't willing to do the hard work to take care of myself in the way that I needed to be taken care of emotionally, I put false expectations on somebody else to make my life all right. And they were never equipped to do that. So I had to get good and ugly and get in my good and ugly cry and forgive myself for being a punk because I've been running from pain. And because I had experienced so much pain growing up, all I wanted to do was run away from pain, not deal with it anymore. And so I made choices based upon things that gave me pleasure. It made me feel good, maybe feel good in the moment, but it wasn't necessarily good for me. It was only good to me, but the same thing that was good to me came back to try and kill me. So what I had to do was to take baby steps, one day at a time, instead of always trying to do leaps and bounds and trying to be where somebody else is or be at the highest height, and literally just take a step. Sometimes that step just meant getting out of bed, okay, and putting one foot in front of the other and putting some clothes on and trying to put a smile on my face and getting through the day. Sometimes that step was talking to my girlfriends, or sometimes that step was going to church. Sometimes that step was going to get counseling. Sometimes that step was going to get a job that I didn't really want, but I needed to live. One step at a time does not mean it's going to be your whole destiny, but you got to show up in your own life, and you got to be okay with yourself, and you got to spend time with yourself before you expect anybody else to want to show up in your life and enjoy your company. If you don't like being with you, why in the world would you expect somebody else to enjoy being with you? If you know that your closet is a hot mess in your house and it's filled with clutter, why would you invite somebody into your house and you know it's not clean? Literally and figuratively.
So, Dia, can you talk about the professional effects of this? Because I have some mentees who are happily married. You know, they might be thinking, well, my soft power is cool. I got a man. But what about the professional side of things? Can you talk about how we can use soft power in our careers or in our businesses, especially as entrepreneurs, you know, when you're showing up, you know, to meetings and you are the only woman in the room and you want to be seen, you want to be heard, but you don't want to have to use that masculine energy. Can you talk about using your soft power professionally as well?
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, it's back, you know, I have a big personality. And so I would tell you that one of the biggest mistakes that I've made professionally is doing too much too soon. Because, you know, nobody told me, and it doesn't even sound right to say, but this is just wisdom now. Nobody told me that I was supposed to shrink when I showed up. I didn't get that memo. So whenever I would go, you know, into a new environment, whatever, I would go in into my full glory, without even paying attention to the atmosphere or the culture of the environment, because, you know, I'm me and I'm fabulous. So I would say one of the key things to do, and in my case, what would happen is a lot of times it would throw people off. Sometimes I'm too much for people. and so, you know, these are the things that you learn and why some of us, it's important for us to be entrepreneurs so that you can control your own fate, because you don't want to be boxed in. And that's a journey in and of itself. However, soft power shows up in this way, in the workplace. Don't be afraid to take your time to observe and learn the culture. It doesn't make you weak, or it doesn't mean that you're diminishing yourself. But wisdom says pay attention. Find out who the power players are. Get a feel for people's personalities. Don't be so caught up in just getting your way. You know, it's not always about being right, but it is about the big picture. A good friend of mine said something that I thought was really, really powerful, and it's this. People don't want to know how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And so soft power shows an interest in other people. When people feel like you care about them, they'll do more with you and for you. Because what you'll learn, especially, you know, on a job, but in life, people like to work with people that they like. So you have to have the likability factor. And in some cases, even when you try, you know what? Some people just ain't going to like you. But often that comes into play because we don't take the time to get to know people and to observe their nuances. If you pay attention to them, you show interest in them, you can appeal to the things that they like, and then you can find areas of commonality. And they don't have to be your best friend, but you can be strategic and savvy in your approach instead of just being off the cuff. So take your time to invest time in getting to know, A, your job, because you have to be effective, and B, the people that you work with, because these are the people that you're going to spend most of your time with every day. And I think the same is true in business. People want to do business and make money with people that they enjoy being around and with people that they trust. And sometimes if you're talking too much too fast, that's a sign of somebody who's scheming. Real players, you know, especially, you know, back in the day, you know, in the hood, they ain't talking too much. They watching you. They watching your verbals and they're watching your nonverbals. You know, if you talking too much, too fast, too soon, that could be a sign of desperation or somebody who's trying to get one over. So it's okay to be cool and you find your moment and you get a rhythm. And when I was younger, I would overperform because I had a point to make. But the truth is, I wasn't just trying to make a point to everybody else. I was also, if I'm being really honest with you, I was trying to make a point to myself because I wasn't sure if I really belonged or if I was really good enough. So now I got to prove to y'all that I'm smart. But when you're really smart, you don't have to overperform. Just be who you are. Be great. Don't prove that you're great.
So what are some characteristics of this feminine woman? Because for the tough girls on the line who are like tough, just born, bred, tough girls who feel like they've always had to protect themselves, keep their guard up, but they are really, really ready for a change, myself included. What are some characteristics or descriptors of this feminine woman? Like you mentioned that, you know, she listens, it's about how she makes you feel, she's caring. But aside from just being sweet, you know, and, you know, wearing pink, what are like some feminine things or some feminine characteristics that we can, you know, try to incorporate into our daily habits or routines?
Well, just so we're clear, being soft is being tough. So being soft does not make you weak. And being hard does not make you strong. If you want to be really real about it, sometimes if you're being too hard, that's a sign of the more vulnerable person because you're hiding behind your heart. Because in truth, you really do want to be soft. You just don't feel safe. And I don't believe that anybody is innately born tough and hard. No. Life has happened to them. Something happened, you're responding to life, and that becomes your protective cover. That's a mechanism that you use. Nobody's born hard. That's learned behavior based upon life. So it's a different kind of strength. It's a different kind of courage to be soft. And to be kind to people, even when they're not necessarily kind to you. That's not weak, but you couldn't have told me that. I still struggle with that sometimes, but that is why it's harder. That's why it's a harder muscle, because it's not easy. My default is to come back at you and to give it to you the way I feel like you need to get it. And there are times and moments for everything, but you can't lead with that. That can't be your default all the time, or you're going to miss the mark, and you're not going to be open. So part of some of the characteristics of being a soft or what I would call a wise woman is a woman who is comfortable in her own skin, who is clear on the rhythm of how to operate, and she's so in touch with herself that she's not trying to overdo or outdo or overprove other people. A woman who is not making decisions based on her insecurities, but recognizes, you know what, I might need to take a minute because I know I'm not coming from a good place right now. A woman who is in her soft power
walks away instead of striking back, because you know you about to go someplace that you may not be able to return from. So, yes, does she speak her mind? Absolutely. Does she monitor her temperament when she speaks her mind? Absolutely. Does she consider what do I really want to get out of this situation? Do I just want to go for the jugular, or do what's the bigger picture? What do I really want? She's the woman that considers, okay, how do I want to approach this? A woman who's in her soft power is strategic. She's savvy. She's thoughtful. And she's confident. And she's a thinker. And she's not so self-absorbed that she wants to win by any means necessary. But she keeps the big picture in mind. And so the woman who's in her soft power is very clear on her intention. What is my intention here? What do I want to achieve? What's the best way to achieve it? You know, how do I really feel about this person in this situation? How do I want to handle it? And she uses wisdom.
Does that make sense? She got it all together. Yes.
No, she don't. Yes, no, she don't.
She doesn't have it all together, but she's not trying to pretend like she has it all together. She's being thoughtful.
Exactly.
I'm taking notes a little bit. She's comfortable. She's not doing too much. She's in touch with herself.
Can I tell you, being able to be, when I say being vulnerable, I'm not talking about being a punk, but being able to be comfortable in your humanity, that is extremely powerful. Let me tell you why. We would not be having this conversation right now if I had not been transparent with you. And I'm just going to ask you this question. By me being real about my strengths and my weaknesses, does that make me weaker to you or stronger?
Stronger, of course.
Why?
Because you don't feel like you have to hide anything. I think it takes a lot of strength to be able to admit your faults, to admit your challenges, to talk about your obstacles, to speak about where you've come from and not just where you are. That definitely takes a lot of strength.
Right. And if you think about any great leader or anybody who's given a testimony, you have to be tested, right? Like you cannot, like people who are like super judgmental and be like, oh, I would never do this, I would never do that. I'd be like, really? How do you know? Have you ever experienced it? Have you ever been tested? Have you ever been? You have no idea what you will do until your back is up against the wall, okay? That's when you find out who you really are. Be tested and then come out in the wash. See who you are. And so you can't talk to me about anything unless you've been through something, because I'm real. I'm a human. I haven't always done the right thing. And so unless you can talk to me about your process, if you're coming across to me as perfect, I can't relate to you because I know my truth. So it's the person who's willing to own their imperfection and recognize that you can be really, really strong in one area and highly flawed in another, and it doesn't take away from who you are. It makes you human. But that's why, because, as you said, so many of us, we've gotten our education, we've gotten jobs, we have our own businesses, all these things, we think because we've accomplished in one area, because our muscle is strong in the work and business realm, somehow you equate that to strength emotionally. So in the book, I talk about your emotional IQ. In other words, you may have a high intellectual IQ, but it doesn't mean that you have a high emotional IQ. And so when you're trying to translate what you do and how smart you are into a relationship, you've missed the boat, boo, because that's not a muscle you've been working on. And so your emotional intelligence is not necessarily as in tuned. A woman who's in tune with her soft power has intuition. So she's not just doing things based on her intellect, but she's also perceptive. And she's in touch with, okay, the atmosphere that she's in and the atmosphere that she creates. And so that is what makes you sensitive to people. And that's the wisdom that says, you know what, this might not be a good time for that conversation. If somebody just told you, you know, that they had a loss in their family, you know, it might not be the best time to talk about how they failed on a project. You know, unless, you know, it's a deal breaker, maybe it can wait till tomorrow. If you're in a relationship and your dude just came home and you know that he needs time to unwind, you talking to him about taking out the trash or, you know, fussing as soon as he gets in the house, that's not a motivation to come home to you, boo. Nobody who, listen, we work the same, and because I feel the same way. When I come home, don't come at me hard like that. I need a minute. And I want to feel good about coming home. So your soft power gives you some intuition. You know what? Be sensitive to somebody else. She just walked in the house. He just walked in the house. Make that a pleasant experience before you go all the way in. How is that good? That's selfish. And now the flip side to that of the description of a woman with soft power is, as a mentor of mine said, she engages in radical self-care. That means when you need a break, take it. When you need to walk away, walk away. Instead of just going one more mile, go to sleep. And you put yourself first so that you're living from your overflow and not functioning off of your fumes. Because I don't know about you, but when I haven't had enough sleep or when I'm frustrated or I begin to get resentful, I'm not able to put my best foot forward. My attitude is not good. And so that's a part of your truth, too, because you judge your process and you think, well, I should be able to just do one more. But your body is telling you, girl, you need to go to bed. Your mind needs to rest. Your spirit needs to rest. Your body needs to rest. And then when you wake up and you're rejuvenated, you make better decisions. Like I've learned, I can't make decisions when I'm tired. I can't make big decisions if I'm PMSing because I'm too emotional. Because your feelings ain't facts, boo. It just feels like it when you're in your high point of emotion. So I've learned myself to know that if I'm at my point of PMSing and somebody says something to me, I'm probably going to snap. I probably need to say, you know what, let me get back to you because I'm in touch with what's going on with my body. My hormones are real. It's not an excuse. It's an understanding. That's your truth. Like, know your truth. Know your triggers. Know when it's not a good time. Know when to take your behind the bed so that you don't blow up the spot. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. And being able to think before you speak, that would be the perfect example, right? Being able to pause.
Absolutely.
And take it all in, take in the environment, take in the situation, not just running off at the mouth. That's a feminine thing.
Well, and that's easy to do. Running off at the mouth is easier to do.
Absolutely.
That's how you feel. So not running off at the mouth ain't you. It's not a punk move. That takes strength. That takes discipline. That's not easy.
So let me
and
ask you this, because this is a real. Go ahead.
No, your ego says, I should. I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna tell you how I feel right now. But that's your ego.
That was my question, Dia, and that wasn't on my list here. But that was what I wanted to ask. You know, this is my personal question, because how do you get over the feeling that somebody is getting over on you? Because I feel like if you don't say something, you know, you could be taken advantage of, kind of, sort of. How do you get over that feeling of needing to show somebody or prove it to somebody or, you know, show that you're how do you get over that? Like, really, how do you get over the need for that?
I don't know if you get over it.
Dang.
I think what it is you gotta first do self-evaluation. So, for instance, let's take a job situation, right? I've been in this situation where, let's say you have somebody coming for you for your job or your position, and it's competitive. Sometimes you feel like you need to one-up somebody and show them, you know, what you're made of and blah, blah, blah. And there's a, you know, there's a place for that. But if you're coming from a, if you're doing it from a place of insecurity, which makes you then try to do something mean or hurtful to somebody else, you're coming out of your bag to make, and you're lowering yourself to prove something to somebody else. That stuff backfires because that's energy that you're putting out there. You know what's going to come back to you. And you attract what you put out. So in that moment, when I want to just go all the way in, and do I fail at it sometimes? Yep. But then I also have to come back and deal with my own truth, be like, why were you, did you do that? Or what, where are you coming from? And sometimes it has to do with insecurity. Insecurity is nothing but fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you know that you're doing something from a place of fear, if you're in tuned enough to know I'm really doing this from a place of insecurity and fear, then I might need to take a step back to look at. So this is the question that you ask yourself before you do any of that. Because I'm not saying there's not a place to be clear, to be deliberate, to be direct with people. And, yes, people do try you. But you got to always ask yourself why. The why, if you, depending on your answer to your why, will determine how you need to move forward. Why am I doing this? Why will I say it this way versus that way? Let your why be your guide. And make your decisions accordingly.
So, Dia, you know
best,
that.
But at best, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No,
finish. Go ahead.
I was just saying the best thing you could do is just be clear on your intentions. You know what I mean? Like, don't just do it because you're having an emotional experience, because that's a sign of immaturity. Maturity at least considers her why. And then if you choose to still go in that direction, at least you know why you did it. And then when you get the results that you get, you understand why. But when you do stuff like that, and then you're like, well, I don't know why they act. Why did they respond to me like that? Yeah, because you're not being honest. You're not even looking at the part that you played in the situation. You know, every action has a reaction. We're reacting to what somebody else did. Somebody else is reacting to what we did. And so it has, you know, it builds. Because we're not conscious of why we do what we do. We just do it. Because I shouldn't have to, or I should, okay. But is that your why? And furthermore, how is it getting you what you really want? Do you really want to cuss this person out, or do you really want to build a good relationship with this person? Okay, so based upon the answer to that, how should you move accordingly? Because sometimes just going off is really in response to maybe how somebody made us feel, our insecurities or concerns about what they may think about us, et cetera, et cetera.
So once we read your book, because that is our February book of the month, what is one thing, like just one lesson, one lesson you want us to come away with after we read your book?
Okay. First of all, I'm really excited that you're reading the book. What you're going to walk away with is that soft power as a tool is really the foundation of what's going to take you to also the next level of becoming a man whisperer. Because the book is broken down into two parts. It's the soft power, and then it's the art of becoming a man whisperer. And what if there was one thing that you'll walk away with, it's this. You cannot influence what you don't understand. You cannot be a player. You cannot be a boss if you don't understand who, what, when, where, how, and why. Those are the questions. You've got to know your audience. You got to understand the atmosphere that you're in. You got to know the why people do what they do so that you can be the answer to their problem. et cetera, et cetera. When you ask yourself the who, what, when, where, how, and why, it's a game changer. And then you can be a real influencer. And I'm not just talking about being an influencer on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, but really changing lives.
All right, so at this time, if you have a question, you can press 1 so that I can unmute your line. But in the meantime, Dia, let my ladies know what else you have going on, how they can reach you, and where they can, how they can stay connected with you.
It is my pleasure. I'm super excited because soon and very soon, the audiobook of Soft is the New Power will be out. I'm going to do it in 3 parts, and so the first part will be out very soon. So if people will go to my website and sign up, they will get all the information from my newsletter, because everybody who's a part of my newsletter will get all of my updates. And so that's Dia, DEYADirect.net. That's DEYADirect.net. Also, I've just launched the Soft Power series. So instead of just Soft Power, it's Soft Power. And it's where I'm interviewing women of influence about tips and strategies that they've learned on how to communicate. So, like, if you go on my website today or on my YouTube page, which is Dia Direct TV, you'll see the first installment that I did with Valerie Burton, who you may know, who is an amazing life coach and a best-selling author of many, many books, super accomplished. And she's talking about all different kinds of strategies about how to be successful in terms of how you speak to yourself and others, including things like, you know, how to ask for a raise and, you know, how to adjust your approach to get what you want on a higher level. And so we did a 30-minute intense girlfriend interview that is going to blow your mind. So I highly encourage you to go to Dia Direct TV on YouTube to catch that. Please subscribe to my YouTube page. And, of course, you can get my book at Amazon.com, and you can get the Kindle version. You can get all of my books on Amazon, the Kindle version or the hard copy. And then also starting in February, I'm going to also relaunch my coaching sessions. So if anyone is really interested in getting direct coaching in terms of their soft power and how to engage as a man whisperer, you know, hit me up on all of my social media outlets. Write it down. I'm just this, Dia Direct, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, DEYA Direct. So please follow me, follow up. I will respond. And if you're interested in doing some one-on-ones, let me know.
All right, Dia, we got one question. Let me unmute her line.
All right.
All right, you're unmuted. You can ask your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. The first question is, what tools can we use to build soft power? And the next question is, what common time you use soft power?
Okay, I didn't hear your first question all the way, but before I engage, can you tell me your name and where you're from?
Amina Harris, and I'm from Atlanta.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
All right, so what was the first question again?
The first question is, what are some tools we can use to build soft power? And then the second question is, what are the common things that have made you use your soft power?
Okay, well, the first thing you can do to build soft power is to really do a self-evaluation and to think about, you know, first of all, do you consider yourself to have hard or soft power? Then ask other people how you come across. That's a really hard thing to do, but if you want to really know how you impact people, ask people that you trust. And some very simple things that you can do when I talk about being intentional, it's something as simple as this. Pay attention to your body language, right? So one thing that I share in the book is I have a subchapter on communication, and I deal with, you know, your nonverbal communication, So something as simple as smiling is a game changer, because a lot of times, especially as women of color, we're just, you know, we might be looking at our phones, you're just thinking. You know, we don't always lead with smiling. But the truth is, smiling is, not only is it contagious, but it's also disarming. So it immediately makes people respond to you differently because of the energy that you put out. So much so that researchers have proven, I'm not making this up, British researchers have proven that smiling is like 2,000, it has the same impact on another person as 2,000 chocolate candy bars. Mm. And you know how chocolate can just change your mood.
Yeah.
And so literally by... Have you ever just been in a situation where, you know, let's say you were in a bad mood or whatever, and somebody just smiled at you, and it changed you. Not only is it contagious and it makes you smile back even if you're not happy, but then what it does is it also changes your energy. And so sometimes even if you're not feeling it, there are certain things that you have to do, you know, like, you know, wearing, you know, red or a color that makes you feel good to change your energy and what you put across. You know, be clear about what you're communicating and don't just do it. Think about it. For instance, I love colors like, you know, brown and orange, and I used to always wear, you know, earth tones. But I noticed, you know, sometimes some of the women who would get more attention would be wearing lighter, different colors or more feminine clothes. And I thought I was fly, but I didn't realize how even what I wore, how it impacted people, right? And furthermore, I didn't realize how it was impacting me. So I just did a social experiment, and I decided to wear brighter, lighter colors or brighter, bold colors. It made me feel better. People responded to me differently, because if you're wearing black all the time, you have to think about what is that communicating to people, right? What is that saying? Black might be your favorite color, but it also may say to other people that you're dark, you know, or, you know, if you're always wearing brown, it might not say that you're inviting. Colors alone can be, you know, can invite people into your space, or it changes your energy. Or it might, you know, it might be more complimentary. And so more than just even focusing on just the color, also think about what colors work best on you. Do a color test. Do a swatch test to really find out what colors work best with your skin tone, because the colors that you like ain't always the best colors for you. And so literally just doing a self-check about how you carry yourself, what you do, and what energy that does, how is it put. So what will happen is, once you start to make these changes and adjustments, you know, like smiling as an example, you'll see that people will respond to you differently. You'll see that it will change your energy. It might change your mood. You know, when you're on the phone with a person, I'm in radio. They teach you in radio, smile when you talk. Because when you smile when you talk, it makes you sound more pleasant. So be conscious of even how you communicate. One of the nonverbals that I talk about in the book is being aware of your hand gestures. You know, if you're always just moving around and, you know, you're just being you. But what you have to understand, this is where the wisdom and the savviness and sophistication comes in. Hand gestures mean things, especially culturally. What they mean to your community is not necessarily what they mean to another community or another culture. So you need to be conscious of how you carry your body. How you're sitting in a chair. If you're sitting slouched down, bad posture or slouching down may mean something to people. It may mean people will take that to mean that you're not motivated or interested, and you might just have bad posture. But so it's being self-aware and making adjustments and sitting up suggests that you're interested, you're engaged. It literally, posture alone will tell people, make people think differently about your intellect. These are proven facts that I talk about in the book. So it's really about being self-aware and not being so caught up in, well, I shouldn't have to do that. Well, it depends on what you want. The day that you stop wanting to grow because you don't want to change is the day that you will stop growing, and you won't change, but you also won't get what you really want. So small
beautiful.
Things. the last point, the last example I'll give, let's say you go out to a happy hour or something like that, and you want to meet a guy. Well, if you're on your phone the whole time, nothing about that says you're interested. You're not making any eye contact. Eyes are the window to the soul. So if you avoid communicating with people with your eyes, or you avert people with your eyes, you know what that says? A, you're not interested, or in a business perspective, it says you're not trustworthy because you can't even hold eye contact. I can't trust you. Who trusts anybody that won't look at them straight on in the face? You might just be shy, but that might be a muscle you have to work on, because nobody is going to connect with you if you can't even communicate nonverbally with your eyes. And then, as Tyra Banks would say, smile with your eyes.
Smile.
And that will be,
yes.
And that will be soft power.
I love it. I love it, Dia. I love you. I appreciate, you know, every time I talk to you, I learn so much. I take so many notes and get so many nuggets. And I just know that my mentees have enjoyed this as well. Make sure you stay connected with Dia. Like she said, her audiobook is coming out soon, and her coaching is starting soon. And if you know, like I know, being a man whisperer is the way to go. And Dia Direct is definitely the go-to girlfriend who can help you get it together. You all are going to learn more about her, get more familiar with her perspective and how she uses soft power, and how she's going to show us how to use soft power with our February book of the month. I hope that you have enjoyed our January Power Call. Dia, as always, thank you so much for being so fearless, so fly. You are everything. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I had so much fun, as always, girl. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, ladies, for tuning in to your January Power Call. Have a wonderful night.